to MMAMadhouse.com Live, episode 114. Give a shout out to our sponsor. Whoops. Okay, let's get Timmy in here, Bruce. Hey, Skippy, how'd you like that? I kind of screwed up. Hit the wrong button. Good producer I am. Skippy must be on mute. Okay, let's do this. Shout out to our sponsors at Brawl Base, Clinch Custom Mouthguards, Intimidation Clothing, Tank Crimes, No Pain, Just Glory. Great deals there right now. Head over there. Central Oregon Trike, Combat Sports Insurance, Vision Smoke Shop, 24 and LV, Draco Sports, Triumph Fitness, Big T's Nightclub, Crossroader Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, and Game Changer Clothing. Skippy, are you with me?
Yeah, hey, thanks for trying to show me more love than you do the sponsors, but they pay these wonderful bills so that we can rock this show every week. So let's bring my partner in crime because we got a crazy show tonight.
Select. Check out this selection right here.
Where you from?
He critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls you nothing except for your mama. And she's burnt your monkey ass.
Yeah, your monkey asses. What's up, Skippy and Carl?
Lepaki, how you doing, brother?
Dude, I'm like a fucking chicken with my head cut off today, brother.
I just walked into
Studio B and I'm done with work for the day, and now it's time to play. And I think we've got some kick-ass guests tonight.
Yeah, and we're not going to even screw around, man. We're going to kick this all CFA show, and we're going to be talking about CFA 10 coming up, folks. You guys, this is going to be one ridiculous card coming up on the 2nd of March, and they're going to have a 145-pound pro women's MMA tournament kicking off at this event for a championship belt. And we're going to start tonight off right, and we're going to bring on one of the fighters, a young lady named Peggy Daywalker Morgan. How are you doing, young lady?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Welcome to MMA Madhouse Live. You're on with Lepaki and Skippy. You know, we're super excited about this. I don't know if we can say more excited than you ladies involved in this, but this is, I believe, your first tournament ever. I got to ask you right away, what do you think about this lineup of being able to fight multiple fighters throughout this tournament?
I'm actually wicked psyched at the prospect of having more than one fight in a row just because I've had a really hard time getting matches. I haven't fought since June, and I've been trying to find a fight ever since. So just having multiple opponents lined up is amazing.
Well, in this tournament, you know, as long as you keep winning, you keep advancing. Obviously, everybody I feel in this tournament are some pretty great names, and your name included. When you look at this tournament, and did you even remotely matter to you who they were going to line you out, or you were just like, I'm ready to fight after, you know, being gone for a few months?
I was ready to fight anybody. I wasn't picky. I was originally scheduled to face Ashley Evans-Smith, and they just switched it up last week to Revelina Berto, which is a huge switch in terms of one. Ashley was a wrestler and Revelina is a striker, so completely different game plans, but it doesn't really matter. A fight as far as I'm concerned.
With, you know, obviously you've seen it, a lot of fighters coming up, they always are like, well, who am I going to fight? In a tournament format, you never know in the next round, as long as you keep progressing. You know, does that give it even more excitement to you, knowing that there is no saying who it is until you're done winning?
Yes and no. So far in my career, I haven't turned down a single fight, and prior to this, I did amateur boxing, and it was the same deal where you basically fought whoever they put in front of you. So it doesn't really matter to me. It's never really mattered to me. I'll take any opponent I can get. And certainly, I mean, game plan-wise, knowing that I'm going to have to come up with a game plan in a short matter of time does, like, it adds a layer of excitement. But honestly, I've never really cared who I fight. I just like to fight.
I'm assuming Lepaki's still trying to get everything worked out on his end, but I don't know how many fights you had in your amateur career. How many did you total have? Because records are hard to find sometimes.
I'm honestly not sure. I had around 25 boxing and around 15 kickboxing total, so probably about 40 amateur bouts. But, again, I'm not entirely sure. They do keep record. USA Boxing keeps records, but I lost all that a long time ago.
Now, with your the kickboxing, you know, how difficult was it to transfer, you know, that stand-up game to an MMA-style fight?
Actually, it wasn't hard. I kind of came at it from a strange angle where I quit boxing. I went, man, like 2 or 3 years without fighting at all, and I started taking jiu-jitsu just to get back in shape. I thought it would be fun. And then they ended up putting me, we have obviously MMA fighters at the gym where I train jiu-jitsu. One of them was getting ready for a bout with somebody who had a good long jab. And the guys were like, oh, hey, you know, put him in with Peggy. Because a few of them knew me from boxing, and they're like, this skinny chick, we're going to put him in with this skinny chick. And I ended up getting in and kind of peppering him with my jab, and they talked me into taking a fight. So I kind of came, I'd already acquired some ground game before I started MMA fighting. So it wasn't a terrible transition.
Bucky, you gonna jump in? I guess he's still not in. Well, I know that you're going down to CFA. This is an organization that we've followed for some time. We think it's a great, great platform for fighters who are really trying to make a splash on a bigger stage. You know, with CFA coming to you, how excited were you to be able to get onto that platform?
Oh, I was really excited. My trainer called me probably at midnight to let me know, because before the tournament even came up, they'd offered me a multi-fight contract. So when he called me with that, I was very excited, not only to fight for them, but just to have a fight in general. But definitely with CFA, it was a huge opportunity.
Now, obviously, us being in media, we might get to hear a little bit more of the rumor mill than you, but it had been rumored for some time that they were looking at doing a tournament. Had you heard anything about that when you were talking with them?
A little bit, not a lot. When I first heard about it, it was going to be a 135-pound tournament, and I'd signed on for that, and then it switched to 145. But when I first signed the contract, I didn't really know much about the tournament.
Okay. But, yeah, I think this is a great, great deal for you ladies. It's nice to see another major organization coming out there and putting women's MMA on a major platform, you know, for all his fans out there to enjoy and to see the growth of your sport. You know, I know Labaki's a big fan of women's MMA like myself, and I think this is a great tournament. I know your opponent switched, but I look like your first-round opponent. This is a great fight. It's a good matchup for you.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited for it. I wasn't at all bummed out about the switch of opponents. I thought it looked like fun, actually.
Well, and with, you know, a lot of people don't know about her. How much time have you got to invest in maybe researching her? Or have you let that shift up to the coaches?
Not a ton. I've seen videos, but, I mean, she hasn't fought in 4 years, so everything I've seen is obviously old. I know she's a member of the Berto family, so she's, you know, clearly has a good stand-up. I mean, it's kind of a mystery, but I'll take what I get. It's not a big deal.
Hey, this is Lopaki. I'm sorry I was late getting in here, but you said the Berto family, like the Andre Berto family?
Yeah. Yeah, her name's Revelina Berto.
Wow. Her brother's pretty badass. I mean, I know
he got worked over in his last fight, but...
Yeah, but, I mean, I like Andre Berto. I think he's got a heart of a warrior, so I'm sure that you two will have a lot of fun in the cage.
Oh, definitely. We're both strikers. I don't know how her ground game is. Mine's pretty good. So I feel like either way I'm comfortable.
Yeah, I totally feel that. That's why I mentioned, you know, the change, and I feel that it suits you much better, because I believe that she's going to try to keep this standing up. You know, just because, A, the ring time that she's been gone, but, B, that's kind of her bread and butter, you know, when she was fighting regularly. So this is a really, you know, great matchup to get you to the second round. You know, you come in and you control the game like you should and you want. I feel like you could definitely make it to the next round of this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I plan to do whatever it takes to win it.
Now, Peggy, you said you were having a hard time finding fights. Was that because of your ability or just because of the lack of women in your weight class?
I don't want to sound like a jerk. It does have something to do with ability in terms of I've had more fighters back out than I've had actual fights. But it's also just a lack of women in the weight class. If there were more women, there'd be more quality fighters out there, and they wouldn't be worried about taking a hard fight. So it's a little bit of both, but it's had a lot of backouts.
Yeah, and don't worry about like sounding like a jerk, because the facts are the facts, and if people are backing out of fights, that's not your fault, and you can't be a jerk for that. I mean, you know, that's just part of, unfortunately, that's
mm-hmm.
a part of the game. At this stage in women's MMA, there's very few of you that really want to get in there and test yourselves against that upper echelon. And that's what we see in the A to B there in this tournament is that, you know what, you're four of the preeminent up-and-coming women in the 135, 145 weight class, and you guys are going to ball out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're going to do it, you got to do it.
Oh, you definitely. Well, you know, and that's Lepaki hit on it right. You ladies that are stepping into this tournament, you guys are stepping into a tournament knowing that your next round opponent is not even named yet. You know, knowing that when you signed this, you didn't know there was, you know, seven other women besides you in this tournament listing, and, you know, you've already had a change of opponent. So, to me, this says a lot about not just you, but all the competitors in this tournament that you're willing to step up and basically do a blind draw to the next round. It's, hey, I'm willing to win. I don't care who you put in front of me. And I love that attitude. And it's something I think the sport is starting to lose a little bit of. And it's nice to see you professional women fighters step up to this platform and show the fighters out there that it doesn't matter who I'm fighting. Just throw them in front of me. I'm going to win it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what we have to do at this point to get to the next level and to get fights. You can't just hang around on the local scene hoping that somebody's going to show up and get in a cage with me.
Hey, now, you're originally from our neck of the woods up in Longview. Did you do any training up in that way, up in that area?
Not really. I actually lived in Eugene, Oregon for a few years, and I started taking Muay Thai there. But I wasn't really thinking about competing. I was just kind of doing it for fun. It wasn't until I moved to New Hampshire that I really started fighting.
I'll be in Eugene tomorrow.
Oh, really? Say hey.
Yeah. Like, I live in Corvallis. Like, you know, I'm only like 45 minutes north of Eugene, but I got to go down there for some work stuff, for my day job stuff tomorrow. But I'm hoping
Corvallis.
I can try and sneak in some time and hit up maybe Midtown, check out what's going on at the gym over there.
Yeah.
So what was it that brought you into combat sports with getting, like, kind of the late start, it sounds
actually
like?
Actually, it was the UFC, and I mean, I watched it when it first started when I was young, and I thought, wow, that would be really cool to do. But I wasn't too comfortable with the ground aspect. It's not really like I didn't think it was ladylike. I just didn't think I'd feel comfortable rolling around on the ground with boys, basically. So I started with, stand-up, and then and then when I started grappling, I realized it's actually way more fun. Like, when I'm training, I'd almost rather grapple than box. Because, I mean, it's like being a little kid. You're just, like, wrestling around like you did when you were a little kid. So, yeah, it's from watching UFC and being like, wow, that'd be really cool to do, and then thinking I kind of like to try that myself.
Now, what about the tournament intrigues you the most? Because not a lot of people get to experience, like, and this isn't a one-night tournament. Hopefully the listeners understand that it's actually over the course of some time. But what is it about the tournament that intrigues you the most, and what do you think might be the most difficult aspect of the tournament?
Obviously, the opportunity itself intrigues me. The opportunity to test myself and see how good I am. It's one thing to know you're the best in the weight division on the local scene. It's another thing to go outside of the area and see how you do against people from other regions. I personally think New England fighters are some of the toughest out there, but we'll see if that holds true. And just to be able to have the chance to win this tournament and make a name for myself. In terms of difficulty, I could be facing a striker this round, a wrestler next round, and a good BJJ player the next round. So having to switch up my game plan and be strong in all of these areas is probably the biggest challenge, but also something that I find intriguing and a good opportunity.
Has that maybe this camp ignited you a little different than previous camps, knowing that you're training for whoever and whatever style?
It definitely has. I've been more inclined to work my weaknesses in the past. They'd be like, oh, I know I can win this on striking, or I'm just going to work arm bars. And now I'm definitely branching out and doing things that I feel a lot less comfortable doing and working on things that I kind of suck at just because I don't want to be in a situation where that's the tool I need and I don't have it.
Now, when you fought, I think it's Kaylin, Martina Rosa. I'm horrible.
Yeah. It's cool.
What did you come out of that fight learning about yourself? Because that was a pretty intense fight. You know, for fans out there, it went to a decision, and I believe you won a majority. You know, what did you learn about that tough fight? Because that was your last fight that you had.
You mean in terms of what did I begin working on after that fight, or?
Well, what did you learn about yourself going into such deep waters and having such a tough fight with that lady?
I learned what I already knew, which is that I'm insanely tough. Like, she kicked the crap out of my leg, and I kept going forward. She was hitting me with everything in the kitchen sink, and I just kept moving forward and doing what I had to do. Took her down, held her down. It would have been a unanimous decision, but they took a point from me for an illegal rape choke, which I personally still don't think was illegal, but the ref is the ref.
Fucking rape choke!
So,
you're like a little mini.
Yeah, they think I was trying to rip her trachea out. Somebody took a point from me. It was questionable. I was just pinning her down by her neck so I could punch her better.
Well, you know, like I said earlier, you know, CFA 10, man, March 2nd, I believe it's at the Bank United Center in Miami. That's, this is going to be just an exciting night. So you're already in your camp. How do you feel this camp is going compared to your previous camps?
It's going real well. It's been vicious. I don't have any women to train with, really. I travel every once in a while down to Joe Lozon School. And there's a girl there I train with, but that's really the only other female I have ever, and she's a little smaller. So usually I'm training with guys who are bigger than me and a little bit stronger, not a lot. And so I've been getting beat up pretty good lately, but it's been a good camp. Honestly, I've been training since, like, November because I was supposed to fight January 5th, and then I thought I was going to fight January 19th, and then it got moved to March 2nd. So this has been about a 12-week training camp at this point.
Yeah, what happened with your fight with Cassie?
She just disappeared. She fell right off the face of the earth. So I don't know. She basically, and then I said something about it on a local forum just to kind of be a bitch because they said something about, like, this girl's page. She's about to go pro. And I said she was supposed to go pro a month ago against me. And her manager, somebody came on and was like, she never signed for that fight. But, I mean, we had an oral agreement and it was on the website that it was going to happen. And she just quit responding to them, basically.
Yeah, because I knew about that fight was going to go down, and I was kind of curious to see how she was going to go with that fight, because that was right after she had an incident at a weigh-in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, where Frank Lester, I think, punched her in the face.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like,
no.
It was, like, really crazy. Like, in, like maybe, like, the week before Christmas. Like, she was weighing in to fight Frank Lester's girlfriend or something, and I don't really know the whole, you know, how I get, like, it's like the telephone game. Like, story I'm getting could be incorrect, but I do know that Frank Lester did sock her in the face.
Oh, wow. How'd she take the punch?
I'm not sure. I mean, apparently pretty good, because then she wanted to fight his old lady even worse.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know.
Now,
she disappeared on me.
Yeah, now you typically fight at 135. What do you think about being at 145 for this tournament?
I am so, can I swear?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
I'm so fucking happy to fight at 145. I'm like,
why
six,
is that?
I'm somewhere between 6 foot and 6 foot two. I walk around at like 165, 170 at this point. Cutting to 135 was killing me. The only reason I was doing it was I couldn't get fights any higher. Like, I could find nobody to fight above 135. So, and I mean, at this point, I don't know if I would make 135 without, like, serious diet, what's the word I'm looking for, dietary intervention. Like, it would take a lot to get me down to 135 again.
Like, we'd have to send Mike Dolce out your way?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much what it would take, honestly. I'm a big girl. 135 wasn't fun.
And when she says big, listeners, she's fucking tall, you goofballs. Like, don't be taking that shit out of context.
No,
I'm a bunch of idiots.
I'm man-sized. It's okay. I'm man-sized.
Well, no, my sister's that way. She's, like, just under 6'1", and she probably, like, walks at, like, 165, and she's always like, I'm so fat. I'm like, will you shut up? You're, like, 6'1". Like, just shut your mouth.
For
no,
exactly.
I'm fat. I'm 5'4", 283. That's fat.
And
he
ain't lying.
You must have a good life.
Skippy just has zero discipline when it comes to anything in life besides, like, making it to the radio show on time.
Oh, so at least he does that.
That's right, man. You know, look.
Now, you said you got to train with Lozon. Now, do you ever, like, hit up Team
I don't. None of my training partners have, and it's open to us. It's just there's only so much cross-training one can do. I'll probably find a way to make it there at some point during this tournament, but I haven't yet.
All right, so we know that you like to fight. You like to punch broads in the face, maybe take them down, hit them with some elbows. But let's look at, like, what does Peggy Morgan do away from the cage when she's not training?
Oh, that's what the rabbit hole gets real deep. I'm also an adjunct college professor. I teach literature and composition at Southern New Hampshire University and then also at Granite State College. So I influence young minds when I'm not punching them in the face.
Okay, so so you're telling me that if I can get you 3 or 4 months at a gym in a hotel over here in Oregon, you can come educate me?
Yeah, I could probably. I could try. I don't know. I mean, I could teach you about
books. Try.
Don't shake your head, Labaki. She's a teacher. She can help me. I could instead of
Skippy,
having
Skippy. She teaches at a university. She teaches at a university, Skippy.
Well, I think I might be able to get there one day.
Now, what's it like when you have a black eye and you're, like, standing in front of the class? Do the kids ever, like, I bet, like, they never
I tell them. I do disclosure at the beginning of the term because I'm frequently pretty torn up looking. So I tell them right off what the case is. And sometimes, I mean, that results in, like, the first class. They're all pulling out their computers and, like, Googling me and my fights and whatnot. But it's kind of good to just get it out of the way. And then they don't really care after that. Like, I show up with black eyes and sometimes they'll be like, oh, cool, but they don't seem to really care.
Dude, hold on, before Skippy does this part, I wish that I would have had you as a professor because, like, I was always getting yelled at for, like, dealing with MMA shit in class, and I feel like in your class I might not have got yelled at.
I probably would have been very understanding. because I'm usually dealing with MMA shit.
Ms. Peggy, before we run out of time, I'd like you to have a chance to give any shout-outs, let fans know how to find you on social media, any sponsors. Go for it.
I just opened a Twitter account recently. It's Peggy Morgan MMA. So I'm trying to build that up, and it would be awesome if people would follow me there. And then I don't really have a fan page. I just have my personal Facebook account. People are welcome to friend me. I don't really care. And my training partner, Cody Anderson, is also undefeated, and I have a – it's kind of a fan page. It's called Kitty Kitty Bang Bang. It's on Facebook, which is a long story. But if people want to find us there, they can certainly like that on Facebook. And let's see, sponsors, NLA Performance, Cameron Chiropractic, and then Throat Punch Clothing.
Dude, Throat Punch Clothing? I like this. I like it. We've talked about rape choke and now Throat Punch.
Like,
two of my favorite things.
I should probably start a business.
So I have a bad habit of always, like, this is kind of like my fallback question when lady fighters come on, but, like, when you're out with your significant other, do you get, like, a lot of heat for having a black eye and how other women would like to save you and, like, intervention into your relationship so you're not, like, a domestic violence victim?
Well, I'm not seeing anybody right now. In the past, not, like guys I've been with have gotten dirty looks, definitely. People don't usually say anything to them. They're usually the ones like, look, I didn't hit her, another guy did. or it wasn't me, it was a kid. They're trying to explain themselves.
Oh,
but yeah, it usually just makes it worse.
Oh, that was great. Oh, Peggy.
Now, you're not a University of Oregon alum, are you?
No, I'm not. Sorry.
Thank God. Fuck. No,
oh,
thank God.
Good. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Man.
I'm still cool. Yay.
You'd have been cool anyway. We'd have just had to figure out a way to, like, not talk about you going to the University of Oregon.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I definitely didn't do that.
Well, young lady, we're going to wrap up. I so wish you the best of luck going into this CFA tournament at CFA 10. Everybody, you guys got to get down there. You guys still be on a stream for it. I believe it's going to be $7.99 for the stream. Go to cfafights.com for ticket information. You know, we wish you the best of luck. I'm super excited to see you in this tournament, and I'm super excited to see you down the road perform for the CFA.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for having me on the show.
No, thank you very much, Peggy. I'm sorry that I was kind of, like, late, and I feel like, you know, you didn't get a good enough interview with just Skippy here for part of it, but, like, next time you're on, we'll make it up to you.
He did his best.
Awesome. Well, best of luck
man.
On March 2nd.
Yeah, we're definitely
going
to have to.
We'll be tuning in for sure, because I can watch CFA events from out here in Oregon.
Nice. All right.
Well, you have a wonderful night, young lady, and we'll look forward to seeing you fight soon.
Okay, thank you so much.
Have a good night, young lady.
Man. Thank you, bye. Oh, what's that?
Lebaki. Oh, go. I was just talking to my co-host, so I apologize.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, bye.
Dude, what a badass, dude. This chick referenced the fucking rape choke, bro.
She's got to come on Rogue Show. She is a perfect guest to come hang out on a late night show with us. After her fight, we're going to have her come hang out with us on the Friday late night show, because she looks like, I mean, she sounds like she'd be a blast to have on there.
Dude, that was great, dude. She's like, I got in trouble for hitting this chick with the rape choke. I'm like, yeah, we need more rape choking. Skippy, what
are
you doing?
I love it. What are
you
doing?
Will you quit messing around with everything and let Carl run the... If you put me on mute tonight, dude, I'm going to drive across the mountain and beat the brakes off your ass.
Dude, you know what? I have a door and an address. I can give it to you anytime you need it.
You better pack a lunch and get a hard hat, son, because... You're a dead man.
Dude, I hope you guys enjoyed Skippy's last
and
a cigarette in one hand and a lighter
tonight.
In the other. You can look me in the eyes. I'm not touching that shit. Carl's fucking with you, bro.
Skippy, you're going to pay the price for Carl's indiscretion. Just so you know.
Man, yeah, what a great guest. And we have some more coming, folks, so just bear with us.
Yeah, dude. Hey, everybody, sorry that I was late, but I'm back in it to win it. We had a kick-ass show last night. We got a kick-ass show tonight. We're doing a lot of women's MMA this week. We had me and Skippy chatted it up last night with who the hell did we? Oh, yeah, Lacey Shuckman.
Lacey Shuckman, Vinny Lopez, and Jetson Nero. Cisneros,
yeah.
Promoter.
You know, tonight
we
just
Florida.
Had that. Peggy Morgan, dude. I like that. The Daywalker. I forgot to ask her about her damn nickname, though. I wonder if she's a Walking Dead fan.
I talked to her
about
that before
the
show.
My fucking day job, dude. My fucking day job really sometimes cuts in on my MMA job. But, hey, you know, I just found out today from some tool bag in Oregon that I'm trying to kill the sport. So if that dipshit ever wants to call in and say that to me personally, I'm willing to listen.
There you go, and hopefully Friday night.
That goes for anybody in that fucking thread, you punk-ass motherfuckers.
somebody's riled up. So,
dude, I don't pull no punches, dude. I'll tell you, man, you're fucking... Hey, Will Skull, Mr. Owen 2, how's it feel to know that I got as many fucking wins in a cage as you do, you jerk-off?
Oh, man. So, Lebaki, I know we were talking a little earlier and we're waiting for our guest.
Sorry, Carl.
Dude, CFA 10, James McSweeney, Deion starring, man. I think that's an interesting fight. I like it.
That's kind of a quick bounce back for Deion, I kind of think. I mean, considering that he just got tuned up by Daniel Cormier, which that
well,
was on January 13th or January 25th. I guess that'll be outside of the 30 days for a TKO suspension.
It will be. Yeah, it will be.
But I'm
kind of
curious to see that because he shouldn't have been fighting at heavyweight. You know that, and I know that. And that was like, you know, I know that he trains with Alistair, and he's been training with Alistair for a long time. But that fight, to me, just wasn't a good matchup for him at heavyweight. And I'm not sure that Cormier, you know, Cormier is a bad style matchup for a guy like Deion because Deion's such a heavy striker, and he has really limited grappling. That was kind of like, I don't like to, you know, I don't want to like people to think, you know, whatever. Think what you fucking want. It was just a piss poor matchup, dude, and it was like really a fight that was stacked in order for Cormier to win it.
Well,
I'm
agree.
Not taking
and
anything away from anybody in that fight.
If the rumors are true, which you know, I just watched the Alistair video actually, labeled Black Zillions. They were talking about Deion moving down to 205, and I like that. I really do. I'd like to see him down there. I think it's a much better class for him. I think. You know, from what we were seeing in his transition in American-style wrestling on the video and from his coaches, said he's picking it up ridiculously fast. So drop him down to 205, where his hands are definitely going to be in the upper echelon, and let him progress his ground game as he's, you know, trying out the 205 weight class, I think is a better choice for him.
Oh, for sure, dude, for sure. Because, you know, I mean, he looked a little soft in that fight, and he doesn't normally look that way when he's in a kickboxing match.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. You know, and, you know, another fight on this great card, because I think we've only got a couple minutes till Miss Kelsey's on, but we were talking about the Byron Berg Oscar Delgado fight. That it right there has a lot on the line. I think it's a really interesting matchup. I like Byron Bird. I think he's a good fighter. I think Oscar, like you mentioned earlier, has phenomenal ground. This is going to be a good fight. It's going to see where it goes.
Yeah, but he's also – no, dude. I have this guy backwards. No. He's not – this ain't the ground guy, dude. This is the fucking killer with his fist.
Oh, you're talking about Delgado.
Yeah. I had him backwards. That was my bad. I gave you bad information.
Well, I do
that
know that Byron Bird is
often,
a tough,
you better
tough.
Mark that shit down, motherfucker. You better mark that shit down. That don't happen very often. I make a mistake, son.
I know. But Byron Bird's a tough individual. I believe he's 4-1, 5-1 right now. This is going to be a real good fight for him. Obviously, being on the CFA platform gives him – you know, a great place to make his name. A lot of good fighters come through that organization, you know. So I think he's going to get a true test, you know. And Oscar's a man, dude. I know that he's got that win at Fight Time, Pride and Glory over Damian Williams, which was just a nasty knockout. And that's a concern, I would say, is I think he has 4 first-round knockouts, Delgado, so...
That sounds right.
Yeah, so...
Delgado, dude, yeah, no, Delgado, I know that's right, dude. That dude's a fucking killer, bro. Every one of his fights, dude, no fight has gone the distance with this guy. He either takes you out in the first round or you take him out in the first round.
Yeah.
And only one time has he been stopped because he lost that one fight on the DQ, his Tim Papp fight at CFA, at like CFA 2 or 3, I can't remember which one it was.
Well, speaking of that, let's get our next guest, Miss Kelsey, in here. Kelsey, you live with us?
I am.
How are you doing tonight, young lady?
I'm good. I've been eavesdropping on you guys for the last few minutes.
Awesome. What
well,
do you think? I'm sorry about
the
language.
Live. You're on with Lepaki and Skippy. Lepaki, go ahead. I'm sorry, brother, for cutting you off.
I'm sorry about the language. That was a problem. I don't
know.
It's
okay. No worries.
Okay.
Look, for all the fans out there, a lot of people know who you are, but not a lot of people know that you're an amazing women's MMA fighter. So do you want to give a little bio about yourself for everyone?
I'm sorry, what's that? What about myself?
Can you give us a little bio?
Oh, a little bio. Sure. Well, the last 5 years I spent in the Marine Corps, and a few people, I guess, know me because I took Justin Timberlake to Marine Corps ball and got some media attention. But I've been doing fighting for a long time before that. I actually grew up in Southern California, and that's where I started doing Thai fighting. And then when I joined the Marine Corps, they're ground-oriented about a lot of things, so I started to pick up jiu-jitsu and wrestling, and I ended up fighting in the cage. So now I'm going to school. I'm a college student and just training to fight.
So what would you think if you had an instructor that was an MMA fighter?
I'm sorry, what's that? It's so, my phone is like, I need to get a new iPhone. This phone's terrible. My phone's falling apart. I'm
what
gonna
would
keep
you think?
Again.
Because we just had Peggy Morgan on, right? She's
uh-huh.
also in this tournament. Now, she is a college instructor. What would you think if you had an instructor or a professor that was also a fighter?
I think that's wild. I'm like, oh, let's go train. What's up?
Can I get an A if I tap you out?
That's a great answer. Now, with your time in the military, how much did you get to practice your true training for fighting?
Actually, surprisingly enough, a lot. I was a military police canine handler, and then I went to the Martial Arts Center of Excellence in the Marine Corps, and I was able to teach with some of the best guys that our military has to offer. And they hold a really extensive martial arts course, and their motto is kind of one mind, any weapon. So it's different as far as, it's training Marines for combat. But we do use things from jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai and wrestling. But the techniques that we train primarily would have anything that we did, it would be something that you could execute in full combat gear. So whatever that might be at the moment. But it's totally different being in the cage and, you know, having fight shorts on and a tank top or a sports bra.
And the stuff you're learning in Mace is like, you know, you want to put them down like this, like, because I had a buddy that was Special Forces, and me and him used to mess around, and I'd be like, dude, you can't do that. And he's like, bro, I didn't train to, like, fight some goofball in a cage, man. I'm trying to, like, put people away as quick as possible.
Yeah. Because
he would do stuff to me, Kelsey, and I'd be like, what the hell was that? And he's like, don't worry about it. I can't teach that to you. And I'm like... Like, can you give
I
me
feel
a
like
warning
I know him.
Time? Probably. He did teach me, like, the hardest part of your body is, like, an extended thumb where you can do a lot of damage with just your thumb.
Oh, wow, interesting. Yeah, we do some different pressure points and things of that sort. It's really it's crazy because we do a lot of unfair engagements, too, because, you know, combat, it's not like the cage where you have one individual. It could be a very unfair situation where you have multiple people coming after you and attacking you. So we do a lot of stuff like that in the course. And, it gets pretty intense, I'm not going to lie.
Well, you know, intense, man. Tournament, all women's tournament. This is to us, this is something as fans we love, as media we find even more thrilling. What do you think about joining the tournament format?
I am so excited about this tournament. I think CFA is doing a huge thing for women's MMA, and I don't know, I'm really excited because I'm living here down in close to Miami now, and so I'm training with American Top Team, and it's kind of cool to be, like, living out here and representing, fighting for CFA because they're doing such huge things with this women's tournament. I'm so stoked about it. Like, a lot of people ask me, they always ask me, they're like, oh, are you, like, you know, are you, you hate the girls you go in there against and fight, and I'm like, what? No way. Like, I'm so excited other girls do this sport. Like, it's such an awesome upcoming thing for women's MMA. So I'm super pumped about it.
So with, obviously, you've had some amateur fights, and now this pro tournament lays in front of you. How intrigued are you that there is, you don't know who you're fighting next? Does that get you going at all? Does that excite you? Do you like to know who you're fighting?
honestly, it really, I mean, I think that anyone would like to know who they're fighting, I guess, if you have the opportunity, but it's kind of interesting that I don't, I mean, I like it. Like, whoever, you know, whoever's in there up against me, it's going to be the same thing, I guess, as that I would do any other time. Like, a lot of people like to game plan this and that, but I prepare for what I don't know, you know what I mean? I take every fight that I have with, like it's my, like this is, like, the fight that's coming up for me is, like, the biggest fight of my life, and I take every fight like that. So, yeah, I don't really, you know, we game plan and things of that sort, but it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, and you're going to be fighting Brighton, correct, in the first round?
I'm going to be fighting Brighton, is that what you said?
Yeah, Brighton Hunton.
Yes, yes.
Now, obviously, everything goes the way that you guys are training and hoping for, and you get a win. The next round, obviously, you don't know who you're going to fight. Us as fans, you know, we think that's great. Us as media, you know, we like to kind of see what matchups are like. How do you feel that you match up against the rest of the field in general?
The rest of the field, like, I'm super, like, I'm so excited about the tournament because, I mean, you mentioned Peggy Morgan. Like, she's freaking outstanding. Like, Golden Gloves boxer, and then we got Taylor Stratford. She's, like, number one. I think she was, like, number one amateur pro in the world. And now she's getting pro debut with CFA. Like, I just think that's totally cool. As far as me matching up against them, I mean, I guess we'll have to find out. Because I don't think that I've fought girls that, at this extent, you know, that have as many fights as these other girls and things of that sort. So I'm looking forward to it, though. I really am.
With you, go ahead, Lavaki. You want to jump in? Go. Okay, with you talking about that, Peggy brought this up earlier. With you now moving to where you are to train, have you found a better group of female athletes to train with at your level and at your weight class?
Well, surprisingly enough, like, I mean, when I was in the Marine Corps, I pretty much trained with a bunch of dudes that were twice my size or three times my size, but which actually turns out to be really helpful because when I go up against someone my size, it turns out a little bit different. But I actually, here at American Top Team, India Gomez, she's a... She trains up at Coconut Creek, and she is an outstanding person, and even outstanding, like, she's just crazy when it comes to MMA. And I've been able to train with her, which is phenomenal for me, because, I mean, I feel like, I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen any of her fights or anything, or have heard of her.
Yes.
Sure.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
She's the real deal, and I'm super excited to be training with her.
Now, you also get to spend time with Tisha, right? Isn't she an ATC woman? Isn't Tisha Torres at ATT Coconut Creek, too?
I'm so sorry. I'm in public right now, and I can't hear you.
Oh, is doesn't Tisha Torres train at ATT?
They're saying something over the over thing right now.
he was asking if Tisha Torres is training down there at Coconut Creek with you.
Oh, is there anyone else, or did you mention the name? I didn't catch that name.
What's going on my phone? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I know.
Is that Verizon? Is this a Verizon commercial? But
it's Sprint, and my Sprint network normally kicks ass, Kelsey, but I don't know what's going on here. I'm just wondering if you've got to spend any time with Tisha Torres.
Oh, I have. She's such a sweetheart. She's India's really good friend, too. She's freaking outstanding. I mean, she's a lot smaller than me as far as weight class and everything like that. So I haven't really got to train with her. I primarily train with India when I'm up there. But she's just such a cool girl. She's awesome. I really like her.
Now, you're also Operation Octagon. I don't know. Are you the current champ, or have you abandoned that title? Or?
I mean, I guess I took it and ran with it, so I don't know if I'd call that abandonment, but I don't know. I don't know if they have another female fighter that's replaced me or whatever, but yeah, I took that title, I think it was not last year, but the year before. And yeah, I know they have another girl that's fighting at 145 now, and she's supposed to be a beast, so I plan on seeing her in the pro division, actually.
Now, what is it like being in the military
and the fighting, how do they balance that with you guys? And are they extremely supportive? Because this is like a, sometimes an area where people are really kind of confused about.
Yeah, that's a really good question, actually. And my experience, I think every person's experience is probably different, so I wouldn't want to, like, categorize myself, you know, being like, oh, well, this happened to me. But, and I think it varies what branch of service you're talking about. Like, I was in the Marine Corps, and I'm sure you guys are familiar with Colton Smith that was in the Army, and he was able to go on the show The Ultimate Fighter. Well, we've had guys who have tried out and made the show The Ultimate Fighter but haven't been able to go while they're on active duty. So that's just kind of a little different as far as, like, branches go. When I was fighting at my first unit, there was a couple of problems. My first unit, they didn't want to, you know, if I'd gotten hurt or whatever it is, they were worried about it. But basically what I proposed, I was like, you know, this is, what if I played soccer on the weekend, or what if I did hockey? You know, basketball has so many more injuries than MMA. I looked up a bunch of, I wrote a research paper on it, so. and I basically persuaded them, and then they let me fight, but that was kind of hard until I got moved to the martial arts center where I was training guys and actually fighting. And then it was a lot more like, oh, you got fights this weekend? Cool. Like, can we get tickets? Yeah, no big deal. So.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, I guess it just depends on, you know, what unit you're a part of and what your chain of command really thinks of it. And as long as you carry yourself the right way and, like, go about it the right way, that you can really do good things with fighting and be on active duty.
Now, with your military background, that's kind of like a unique situation. I don't know if you ever got, like, sent over to, like, Iraq or Afghanistan, but you guys have, like, a really unique mental skill set that you learn when you join. How much do you think that helps you inside the octagon? I'm not saying that, you know, the other ladies that fight aren't disciplined or anything like that, but there is a very specific skill set that you learn in the military.
I think what I've taken away from the military, it has tremendous value to me. It's completely changed the person that I am. And I guess as far as in the cage, how it's related is I have so many people that have helped influence my life, and a lot of the best people I ever met were in the military. And what they've shown me is that, you know, nothing's impossible, and to just never give up and persevere through things. And that's pretty much the attitude that I've taken there, because I feel like I didn't pick this sport. I feel like this sport really picked me. So it's kind of a relieving feeling, because it's out of my hands. Like, I don't have to worry about, like, oh, am I going to win or lose, or how this is going to make me feel. Like, I do this because I love this. Like, this is my passion. So a lot of things I learned in the military have really, like, helped me out with that mindset, and I guess have just made me stronger as a whole.
And what was it about mixed martial arts that originally appealed to you? Because you were kind of, like, going down that path prior to your military, if I understood that stuff right.
Yeah, I grew up in Southern California. I didn't grow up, I guess, in the nicest place in Southern California. But when I was about 16, I played sports and stuff like that in high school. I was on the volleyball team, and it turns out I didn't really get along with the girls. Really girly and kind of like, you know, can't be in our group. I'll get out of our group. You're not a girly girl. So I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to fight then. And that's what I did, is I started doing, like, Thai fighting, and I started at this little gym in my hometown, and I'd get beat up every night. Like, I'm going to be completely honest with you, I'd get tore up every night. And I guess that's what kept making me come back. I was like, oh, well, you know, I got punched in the face last night. Like, hopefully tonight I won't get it as bad. So I kind of became addicted to it, as, like, I just want to be better and better and better. So.
That's awesome. Now, what do you think, like, because your amateur career is a little bit different and not quite as extensive. Well, I mean, let me just clarify. Have you had more than two fights? Because when I look at the UG, I should always ask this question, like, well in advance.
Yes, I've had three amateur cage fights, and then I've had, but they're in Virginia, and they're actually full rules. So it was full, like the elbows on the ground and everything. It was like full pro rules, which was awesome for me. My poor last opponent, poor girl. But it was good for me. And then I had when I was in California, I had a few tie fights before the Marine Corps and stuff.
So do you prefer the ground aspect, or do you like to stand up and bang it out?
You know what's funny? Normally, I would say a few years ago, I would have been like, oh, I'm a stand-up fighter. But just with the people I've been working with on the ground and my ground skills and stuff, I'm starting to really like it. Like, I'm starting to really like both. I wouldn't specify me as a ground fighter or a stand-up fighter anymore. I would honestly say I'm more of a well-rounded MMA fighter, and I really like to strike. Like, you probably won't see me put in a submission on somebody unless it's, like, right in my face. Like, oh, here. But, like, if I can punch you in the face, I'll take that before, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You're going to punch somebody else in the face? Yeah, I'm all about that, too. Now, hey, okay, so I gotta ask this because I always love the answers that we get. But now, you're out on a date with your significant other. You got a big, fat, black eye. Do you ever get approached by other women about it and asking if you're okay?
Oh, this is so funny. This is great. You know what I do? Like, I'm messed up. Like, I'm so messed up. Like, if we're out to dinner or whatever, and I'll start, like, messing around with, like, the server, I'll just act, like, really timid and, like, look down, and they're like, are you okay? Like, are you okay? You want to talk? And then he'll, like, my boyfriend Jake, he's really funny. He's a great guy. But he'll say something like, stop acting crazy, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, God, like, just, oh, I'm so scared of you. And people are like, oh, what the heck? They, like, I really think a lot of people think that I might be abused or something. But it's just a joke we play around. So I usually tell people after we're done, I'm like, I'm just messing with you. Like, he doesn't hit me. If he hit me, he'd look a lot worse than this.
Dude, next time you're in the grocery store, you just need to be like, I swear, honey, I won't put so much pepper in the macaroni and cheese, and just watch everybody just turn.
I do stuff like that all the time.
It's so great.
Dude, it's not like you kick ass in and out of the cage.
So
after you win the first round, you win the second round, you win the finals, what's next for Kelsey DeSantis?
Wow. You know what's crazy
is that... No pressure. Hey, no pressure.
Oh, no pressure. Yeah, no pressure. Whew. You know, honestly, like, I'm the type of person, like I said, like, what's in front of me is what's in front of me right now. So I'll take care of that. But you know what's funny is I've kind of just let MMA take me where it's taken me. And so, you know, if God willing I win this tournament, then who knows? Hopefully it'll take me to, you know, possibly, I don't know. If the UFC is going to be opening up the 145 division, that'd be pretty sweet. But a lot more of my future goals have to do with student veterans. I'm doing a lot of things for student veteran organizations. We work with the SVA, Student Veterans of America, and I'm trying to get my college, actually, NSU, to get a Veterans Resource Center started for training veterans. So that's honestly like some of my big goals and my big plans, to be honest with you. And honestly, yeah, if the MMA thing comes along with it, it's even better. So
hold on. Can we talk about what you're working on with the student veterans so people can maybe have a better idea of what you're doing with them? Because that's something that I think that people need to understand, you know, is that you're not just a fighter. You're not just a student. You actually have goals outside and away from the cage that you want to accomplish, and it actually sounds like you
yes.
want to accomplish those more than your goals inside the cage.
Yes, absolutely. Like, one of my biggest things is, like, giving back to those who have served our country. You know, like, it's hard to kind of imagine because it only affects 1% of our population in the United States, but, like, I have friends that don't have both legs. I got friends that are missing arms. And it's just, you know, like, they've talked about giving it all, you know what I mean? Like, we'll talk about, oh, you gave it all in the cage, but there's a difference when you're given a limb or you give your life. And that's what these young people are over there doing. So I feel like it's my responsibility and my obligation to make sure that they're taken care of when they get back. So that's when it's heavy on my heart. I know you can tell in my voice. I get excited about it.
Yeah.
But it's heavy on my heart, and I'm going to make sure that our country does a little bit better job. Serving our veterans when they come back.
Man, that's great. And I hope that, you know, if you have any information that you need to get out, you know, via any kind of media or anything like that, please don't be afraid to hit up Skippy or I. Because, you know, we want to, you know, we don't want, you know, people to just think that we're just here for fighters. And we're here to help you guys out with whatever you need to get done. So, I mean, and that sounds
that's
like
awesome.
A great
yeah,
opportunity
definitely
for people.
Send you some stuff about events that we have coming up. So we're thinking about doing an Armed Forces Challenge Run to help raise funds to get student veteran resource centers across different colleges in the nation. So I'll let you know about that.
Now, you said you're going to NSU, Northeastern?
Nova Southeastern University, yeah, a private school.
Oh, Nova
Dude,
my buddy is in medical school down there. I actually almost went to grad school at Nova Southeastern, dude. That's like the sickest campus in South Florida.
It is amazing, and I'm going to make it even better by making it the most vet-friendly school that there is. So watch out.
Hey, well, if you ever run across a dude named Pete Stube, he's in the medical, I think he's in his second year in the medical program there. He's a kick-ass dude. He probably bartends somewhere down there. I don't know where at. I can't think of it right now. But me and him used to go to class up here at Oregon State. Now he's down there finishing up his going to be a doctor. And I'm sitting here on an MMA radio show. I had my priorities right.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Hopefully I run into him and I'll, you know, tell him that somebody asked me to beat him up on your behalf or something like that.
Do it. Now, hey, before we run out of time and I got Skippy sitting here giving me this weird look, and if I could have you beat him up right now, I'd pay you $50 and give you a gift card to Hollywood Casino so you could go up there and party too. But if you can give a shout out to where people can find you on social media and then all your sponsors and you know, Jim or whoever, your boyfriend, your ex-boyfriend, your future husband, who knows?
Oh, God. First and foremost, I just want to give a shout out to God. Cause that's my number one motivation for the things I do. And then you can find me on Twitter _KelsB, KELS, and then a B. And I'm on Facebook, Kelsey DeSantis, DeSantis. You can find me there, and I update all my stuff, and it's going to be a pretty interesting ride. So hope you guys follow along. And then, sponsors. Ranger Up is one of my primary sponsors. Awesome military clothing line. You got to check out their shirts. They're super funny. Clothing line is awesome. And then I got No Decision MMA. I'm working with some CrossFit people right now. There's so many to name, and I'll for sure make sure that I memorize this a little bit more when I'm fighting so I can make sure I can say this a little bit better because I don't have it all down pat right now.
Yeah, the best tip I can give you is just take a sheet of paper, write them all down, and just carry it with you.
Yeah, I'm going to need to do that for sure.
Now, hold on. What was I just going to ask you? And then I got sidetracked because I wanted to be a smart guy there for a second. Damn it. See, this is my problem. You know, I'm just a simple communications major, you know. I like to talk about MMA. Fuck, what the hell was I just going to – I'll think of it, and then I'll be like, damn it, Skippy.
Tweeter.
I wanted to ask
what did you think of it? Throw a tweet or a tweet out there. Oh, God, the crow's in. Hey, Ms. Kelsey, we wish you the best of luck. March 2nd, CFA 10. You're on a beautiful stacked card down there at the Bank United Center in Miami. We look forward to seeing you. For everybody out there, you guys can go to cfafights.com to get tickets. You're also information for the stream. I believe it's going to be $7.99. Best of luck. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
No, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
No, you're a blast, man. Anytime you want to come on, you're welcome.
I'm gonna come down there and bother you guys now that you said that.
Do it. I dare you.
Hey, bring your boyfriend with you because he seems like a pretty cool cat. I want to hang out with him, too.
I know what I was going to ask. What did your ink say?
I'm sorry, what did the ink say?
Yeah, don't you have a tattoo on your
left
side?
So many tattoos. Which ones? I got on my feet. Some on my feet are two of my favorite. And people like to make jokes out of it all the time because they're like, "Oh, do you want to get kicked with redemption or forgiveness?" Because my right foot says forgiveness and my left foot says redemption. And then on faith and perseverance. And then I have my dad, pretty much. And then my brother's unit. He was a Marine as well. So.
That's awesome.
Well,
Skippy loves ink. Dude, Skippy's got this badass, like, tattoo down the side of his body of one of our sponsors.
because Skippy
no
thinks
way.
You got to pick fights.
Yeah, I got clenched
dude,
up the mouth guards done on my rib. It's 16 inches long, 10 inches wide. It's their exact logo. I even put
that's
the trademark.
Awesome.
Yeah, I even put the trademark stamp on it. You know, hey, we're definitely going to have you back on because I got to pay some commercials. But please, let's definitely, after you win this fight and you before you get to the next round, let's have you back on to hang out with us.
Let's do it.
You got it, yo.
Hey,
lady,
Kelsey,
have a wonderful
thanks for
night.
Joining us.
All right, thanks, guys.
Oh, man. Okay, Carl, you want to pay some bills? Because I know that we're pushing the time.
Pay them, sucker. Pay my bills, bitch.
Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinched.com. Again, that's GetClinched.com for all of your mouth guard needs.
everybody check out our sponsors. Please, at Brawlbase, Clinch Custom Mouth Guard, Intimidation Clothing, Tank Crimes, No Pain, Just Glory, Central Oregon Trike, Combat Sports Insurance, Fish and Smoke Shop, 24NLV, Draco Sports, Triumph Fitness, Big T's Nightclub, Crossroader Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, and Game Changer Clothing. We're back, boys. We're live, and your guest is in queue and ready to rock.
Well, let's not even screw around. Let's bring on Taylor Stratford. This chick is about to tear it up at CFA 10. Welcome to Madhouse Live. You're on with Lopaki and Skippy. How are you tonight, young lady?
I am great. How are you guys?
Chilling it, having a good night, man. It's, I mean, we couldn't ask for anything more. I mean, we've got all you young ladies that are fighting in this tournament for CFA. This is exciting. We're big fans of the tournament format. What do you think about the tournament?
It's definitely stacked. There's no easy fights whatsoever. It's going to be a good show, and I think just everyone should pay attention and see who's going to come out.
Now, with your impressive list of women you've already got wins over,
let's call them what they are. Her impressive list of victims.
Yes. Your impressive list of victims. If you were to add a couple more girls and walk away with that title at the end of all this, you know, how dominant must you feel in your career?
I feel really good. I obviously have my one loss, and that's to Ronda Rousey. I don't know. I feel like if I would take this tournament, which I plan on doing, it's gonna be some. I'm not really sure how to even describe how I'd feel, honestly, because it'll be my first pro fight, first pro win, and then followed by winning a tournament and becoming their first champion, women's champion on top of everything. That'd be really cool, and I guarantee it's going to get a lot of attention, and I'm excited for it.
Well, you know, I'll be honest, going into this tournament, I got to feel that you're a pretty heavy favorite to win this. Not just what you've done, but your abilities and the fact that you're still growing. I mean, you know, you still got your whole sweet streak ahead of you, I feel. I mean, I think you're just getting running, and if you're to clean this out and do what I think you're going to do, and no disrespect to any of the guests tonight, but I do have you winning this whole tournament, I think that makes a big statement, and I think that you're going to have a big target on your back. Is that something you're ready for?
That's what I want. I want people to be like, I want to fight her, because I have a list of people that I want to fight. Ronda, obviously, being the number one, she's awesome. She's my favorite, but she's who I want the most. But yeah, I'm ready for the attention to come my way, for people to want to fight me more.
How awesome do you think it is of CFA to be having a 145 women's tournament? Because this is really kind of an untalked about division in the women's game. But there's so many of you ladies that are extremely talented that struggle to get fights. And the fact that CFA took the time to put together a quality tournament like this, And you know that, hey, you know what, I'm going to be busy for the next 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I think them putting on a tournament in general for women and making it their co-main events and main events for their cards, I think that's cool. It's a big step for them, and it's a big step for women's MMA in general. It's obviously reaching more than just other awesome promotions like Invicta and UFC and everything. It's reaching out to more promotions, and more promotions are seeing the power that women have to attract more audiences.
Now, you're in a unique situation in this fight. This is your first fight outside of the state of Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that's going to go for you, and what do you think about going into what could be a hostile territory?
I think it's awesome, because I've been working a lot of cardio up in Reno, Nevada, which has ridiculously high elevation compared to the sea level elevation down in Miami. And I know my cardio is already on point. So I think it's going to help out. And I have a great team of House of Rue behind me. I have my team out in California, Team Elite with Morrissey's Elite Training Center. I have everyone, but I have a bunch of support, and I have the skills that are necessary to take this tournament.
Dude, hold on. So, hey, okay, I just got a message from one of my buddies, and we're going to kind of segue into this right now, but who's designing your gear, and what is the plan for it? Anthony's going to be pissed that I'm doing this to him right now, because he probably wants to...
I know,
to
I just saw the same thing, too.
Can you say that again? I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry.
What's your plan for your gear that somebody's designing for you?
It's like color-wise, or what do you mean exactly?
Like, what's your colors and what's the theme?
The colors are going to be black and pink. I'm not really like a flashy person, so I'm giving Anthony Burchak basically full design powers. He can do what he wants. I mean, he told me that it's going to be super flashy, and I don't know, it's just going to be really exciting to see what comes out of it.
Dude, that kid wears the sickest shit to the ring, man. I tell you what, that's cool that, you know, he's rocking your design.
Yeah, it's really cool.
He's probably going to be mad that they outed out he's designing your stuff, but...
Really?
He'll get over it. No, I don't think so.
So, how, you know, with you getting prepared for this camp, have you changed anything for this, you know, debut at CFA that you've done different than your previous camps?
No, working just as hard. Originally, I was scheduled to fight a girl named Fabiana Santos, who... majorly was into jiu-jitsu and everything, so I was prepared to focus on my jiu-jitsu, but I'm very capable of going to the ground and being comfortable standing up and being comfortable. I'm comfortable anywhere, honestly. I have wins everywhere, and I think just training all around for MMA instead of your opponent's one greatest thing is what's smartest, because your opponent's not coming in there to a jiu-jitsu match with you. Your opponent's coming in there to do an MMA fight with you, and they're going to do everything they can.
Yeah, I had originally always thought that you were really grappling-centric, and then I watched your fight with Amanda Bell, and I realized that you have some really, really heavy hands.
Yeah, I like to think I do. I don't know. I boxing's always been one of my favorite things. It's always been my go-to if it came down to it.
Is that what kind of – is boxing what brought you into competition combat sports?
I was boxing a little bit with my dad. He thought it was cool, but my dad's friend and my uncle is what I call him. He introduced me to my gym up in Reno when I was 18 years old, and he's like, come try it out. And I was kind of like, no, I was really set on boxing, honestly. And so when I got over there, I ended up actually loving being able to kick and being able to take people onto the ground and punch while they're on the ground on their back. So it ended up sticking with me, and I loved it. I was there every day and every class that I could attend.
So let me ask you, you know, the box kind of touched on it, and for a lot of fans out there who might not know, Ultimate Reno Combat is considered probably one of the top amateur organizations anywhere in the country. How do you feel that organization works for you, getting you prepared for going pro? Because they bring in some tough, tough competition there.
Yeah, they are really – it's a great promotion. It's easily the best amateur promotion I've seen, them and Tough Enough. They have brought in – girls for me to fight from all over the country, and Rick Collip and all of their crew put on a huge, it's just a great promotion, honestly. Like, they brought in girls from Colorado, from Oregon, from California, just from everywhere. So I was blessed to be able to fight in Reno and for Ultimate Reno Combat.
Yeah, you know, we cover a lot of their events being located out here, you know, and they consistently bring some of the top amateur talent in the country. And, you know, saying that, you look at who you fought there and who you fought living in that state, and, I mean, you've beaten some big, big names, you know, names that have obviously gone on to be pros in other organizations. With you getting to go over to Championship Fighting Alliance and honestly make a name on that big of a stage, you're going from one great organization to another. How important was it for you to sign with them did you look at other organizations, or were you like, this is where I want to go?
Originally, back in October, I was supposed to fight for Invicta Fighting Championship, and at the beginning of my fight camp, I actually tore my MCL, and it put me out, and I didn't get surgery or anything on it because I couldn't afford it. So I just waited it out and did a little rehab here and there and continued to train my upper body a lot of punches and everything. But I really couldn't do anything for a long time, and I literally, about 2 months ago, just started fully training on my leg again and being able to do everything that I was normally able to do without any problems whatsoever. So then CFA was offered to me by my manager, Brett, and I couldn't say no. I've known of their organization and the stage that they're putting us on and the way they're promoting us for this event. I had to say yes. It's a great event.
Yeah. It's an organization, and this is part of the reason, big shout out to Jason for hooking up the show. You know, we've loved this organization for some time and felt that they're a top organization in North America. And with them dropping this tournament, I think it's beautiful, because if things go the way, like I said, I see you winning them all. Not only do you have the title, but now you know, the next tournament, obviously, they're going to be bringing in competition you're going to have to be looking at. So I think it's great, because it leaves the door open for multiple fights for you down the road to defend the title. And I think it's a great place to make your name. And I'm very glad to see you there.
Thank you. I am too. I'm really proud to be a part of this event, and I'm just excited to be back into the cage. It's been too long, and I'm ready to put on a show. Like, I don't want to put on a boring fight, and I'm just ready. I'm anxious at this point. Right now, I'm excited and anxious.
Okay. Now, the fans out there want to know, and I got to ask this question. Tell us about alligator hunting.
Oh, my God. Okay. So...
They want to know the whole story.
Okay. So CFA brought a couple of the girls down to watch CFA 09. So Peggy Morgan and I got together, and we were bored at a few points. So there was a little, like, swamp area, I'd say, behind our hotel. And her and I looked at each other like, let's go check it out. So we go back there, and there's a sign that says, don't feed alligators. And we're like, okay, there's obviously alligators back here. So we decided to go back there, like, in the middle of the day and look around. And we thought that was cool. But then we were like, nighttime, we got bored again. We're like, let's do it. So we went out there, and it was pitch black. And we just saw our cell phones as lights and filmed each other. And it was hilarious, like, seeing us run and sprint away from these mysterious noises that we had no idea what they were.
Oh, you sound like an adventurous young lady.
I don't like to be bored.
So, so when you're not fighting, Taylor, what are you doing?
I'm honestly just training. Like, literally fighting in my life. That's all I do is train and really, I don't hang out or do anything fun. I'm really a boring person, honestly.
So you hunt alligators, you train, and you hang out at home.
Doesn't everybody?
Yeah, I mean, my sister got to go to college down there, and she used to tell me that it was kind of a trip that everywhere she would go, she would be having to fend off alligators, and I was just like, that's nuts.
Yeah, Florida's crazy. Like, I was hoping to see some alligators. I couldn't even find one. That was the worst part. We didn't even find an alligator. We'd heard noises, but we didn't really see anything.
You got to be careful, because I've heard that an alligator can eat, if it's a 5-foot alligator, it can consume something that's 6 feet tall. So always keep that in mind. Make sure that the alligator is a lot smaller than you.
Okay. Well, yeah, that was Peggy then, because she's 6 feet tall. I'm definitely not. I would have kept running.
Yeah, and that's another key thing, is that you don't have to be the fastest person in the group. You just can't be the slowest person in the group.
Exactly. I knew that. I was prepared.
Now, which of your fights that you've had so far in your career, Taylor, was your favorite?
I'd say the Amanda Bell fight. She gave me the toughest fight I had, probably. She was stronger than hell. She had great technique. I honestly consider myself as losing that fight when we were fighting. And then, I don't know, something clicked in. My corners told me a little something before that fourth round, and I knocked her out.
Yeah, I don't know. You face planted her. I mean, that was a vicious KO. I was just like, holy cow. whenever I talk to Jeff over at Clinch, he's like, dude, she face planted Amanda Bell. I'm like, I know. I know. And speaking of Clinch, what's on your mouth guard?
I'm going to put probably, I have a couple different things that I'm thinking about first. Either going to just put my nickname, No Mercy, or I'm going to put Philippians 4:13, or I don't know, I might put out a little Facebook poll that allows people to choose what they want to see on my mouth guard. Who knows?
There you go. See, that's always good, including the people. You've got a really strong, like, social media presence. Can you tell people how that really helps you out in acquiring sponsors and keeping your name in the game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love to stay active on any social media site, like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anything you can think of, honestly. It's just easier for me to stay in contact with fans. I can shout out sponsors whenever they like. Like with Instagram, I can take pictures of their clothes, post it to it. That goes for all three of the sites as well, but it's just easier to stay in contact with everyone, and it's easier to keep my name and allow people to keep hearing my name and reading my name as well.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's the most important thing.
And with an organization like CFA, you know, you're starting to see it more and more. Their social media presence, especially when it comes to their fighters, is almost an expected nowadays. You know, have you ever had, like, I guess you obviously we know you have great management, but have you ever had somebody sit down and work with you in the beginning to learn how to get social savvy, or is this just, you know, you picked it up because you love the internet and you love being social?
I think it's because it's funny because, like, I get nervous talking to people in person, but, like, over the internet, I'll talk to everyone. But I pretty much taught myself how to do that. Like, I would see other fighters, like, bigger names doing it, and I was like, I could do that too. And I figured out how to, like, gain more popularity, like, and keeping the fine line between being a girly girl and, like, being a fighter too. Like, that helps with the social media as well.
Now, with your large fan base, I mean, does it ever become an issue for you? Does it ever become draining? I mean, I see that you tweet a lot, and you're definitely, you know, very savvy on posting and letting fans know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't become, like, draining or anything. Sometimes I get bored of it, and I just won't post for a couple of days, and that's all. I never really, like, go, oh, I'm going to delete this. I hate this. I hate my life, whatever. I just kind of go, all right, I'm done with this. I'm just done with this for a few days. I'm going to lay off and focus on me for a while, and then I'll come back to it.
Well, speaking of, go ahead and fucking chip in.
Oh, no, you can go, Skippy. I'll let you talk tonight. You're doing okay.
I was going to say, speaking of social media savvy, we should let her, before we run out of time, have a chance to make sure you show love to all your sponsors and anybody you want to give shout-outs, and let all the fans listening tonight know how to find you on social media.
For sure. On Twitter and Instagram, you can follow me at Tay Stratford. Find me on Facebook under my name, Taylor Stratford, or my fan page, which is Taylor No Mercy Stratford. I want to give a shout-out to all of my sponsors, Palanti Watches, Dr. Taverni, EIIAD, Clench Custom Mouth Guards, Tussle Fight Gear, and, of course, Outlaw Fight Gear. All of them are great. I think everyone should check out each and every one of them if you want to be awesome like me. I'm just kidding. But also, I want to give a shout-out to my manager, Brett Ashley, for just being ridiculously cool and getting everything straightened for me so I don't have to stress over everything. My team, House of Rue in Vegas, my coach, Ron Frazier, my family and friends and fans, and my team out in California, Morrissey's Elite, and Dana Morrissey, my coach out there. I just want to give a thank you to anyone who believes in me, and I want to give a shout-out to anyone who doesn't believe in me and wants me to lose because I plan on letting all of you down.
I like it. You got this shit down. That was perfect.
Thanks.
Now, do you think he'll go to Florida? Do you think he'll go to Florida a little bit early, or will you go like maybe 2 or 3 days before, a week out?
Yeah, I think so. We have to do some press conference stuff, get out of the lanes and everything. So I think he'll go out a couple days early and hopefully just be able to relax and chill while I'm up there, not worry about weight or anything.
How what do you think about having to do, like, all the press and stuff like that for an event like this? Because it'll probably be a little bit more than when you're headed, like, to a URC show or Fighting Stars or anything like that. Do you think that could, like, do you need, will you have more time, like, set aside to rest, or will you still be trying to train that week, or?
I'm going to make sure I have time to rest. Like, that's not an option. I love sleep, so I like, need sleep. I don't function without, I mean, no one does, but, you know, I feel like I'm awful without sleep. So I'm going to make sure I have time set aside to do what I need to do, for sure. I will make sure that I do, complete whatever my manager or CFA asks of me, but I always make sure I have me time as well.
And for all you fans out there, especially you fans in down there in Florida who are going to be going to CFA 10, you know, get your tickets at CFAfights.com. If you can't make it to watch, you know, Taylor whoop ass and throw that leather, you guys are going to be able to get the stream. We're going to talk more with George about that next. And, you know, Taylor, I wish you the best of luck. And you know, I know a lot of fans out there, some have already tweeted me talking about I'm picking the wrong horse, but I'm back to you. I believe it from the beginning when I heard the rumors, that when I saw the press release, I said it then, I'll say it now. I believe you're the one to beat. I think this is a time for you to really shine on a major organization like CFA, and I wish you the best of luck March 2nd.
Thank you so much. I really do appreciate any and all support that you guys, anyone's giving me, especially this interview. This has been awesome. You guys are super funny, super chill.
Thank you. We're so glad that we had, like, the chance to talk to you and the other two ladies tonight, and it sounds like there's probably more alligator hunting in your future here in a couple of weeks. I would say do that Saturday
night. Oh, you
nailed
it. I mean, like, I think I can wait till Sunday. And
yeah, for sure, for sure, you know. I mean, go out there, maybe, like, just go out there and be like, oh, well, there's alligators over in this area, so then when you go back to hunt, you'll know where to look.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking I should do. You planned it out for me. I'm done. It's set.
Sweet. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time out to chat with us tonight, Taylor, and have a great night, and hopefully the rest of camp goes without a hitch.
Thank you guys very much for the time.
No problem. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Dude, kick ass, young lady, man. I mean, great interview. This is just a CFA all night show. It has been killing it. All these young ladies have had such respect for the tournament, for their opponents. As one fan put it, past and present. I don't think we could have asked for a better lineup. I mean, some great, great ladies. And for all you fans out there, man, you guys got to get this pay-per-view if you're not, you know, in the Florida area and you guys can't get down there to, you know, to Miami, you know, and enjoy these fights in person. You know, the Bank United Center, this is going to be a blast, folks. You know, and definitely, I know when we get George on, it's going to be interesting because we got some great questions, especially after talking to all the girls.
Dude, like, man, they've got my job so easy tonight. Like, I'm, like, in full recline in my recliner right now, just, like, chilling. Like, Skippy will tell you people, it's no joke, dude. Like, I haven't had to work at all tonight. Like, these have been, like, the easiest interviews and, like, the most fun I've had in a long time.
Oh, these girls are killing it. The stories, their attitudes, man. I think the CFA has got a great group of fighters for this card and this tournament. And their attitudes, you know, are beautiful. They've got to be so, so happy to have this lineup of talent with this attitude. So... yeah, go ahead,
oh,
Carl. Play that shit, Carl. I know how to mute my microphone and unmute it.
Shut up, Skippy. If I get muted, I'm going to whip somebody's ass.
Well, everybody, we're just waiting on our last guest, George.
He's going to have to really bring the thunder, dude. I mean, I hope he's just not thinking he's going to be able to come in here and cruise, because those three fighters he's got, they just really, like, raised the bar, dude, for the show tonight. And I'm hoping George is ready.
Week. You know,
yeah, dude, this is a busy week. And actually, like, what's crazy is that tomorrow night we're splitting up.
Oh, yeah. And you know, I'm super
excited.
You're
going to keep hanging out in Florida, and I'm going to have to go hang out in Washington and do a show.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be hanging down there, and, you know, with the boys out of Full Growth Fight Radio. We'll talk to some more CFA fighters tomorrow night. That's going to be another show.
Yeah, you're just a CFA hog, dude. You notice how you didn't fucking invite me to that show. I noticed that shit. I noticed I sent you a little CFA hog. I told you about CFA back in the day, and now you're just hogging it all to yourself, dude. I'm talking to George about that.
Dude, since I think it was CFA 2, you know, these guys have done nothing but slam out some of the best fights fans can see.
Oh, so you're saying
part, CFA
1 wasn't any good? Is that what you're saying? Are you saying CFA 1 wasn't any good?
Well, no, I'm saying it's good, but I'm saying when you turned me on to this organization at 2, we've been, you know, diehards ever since because of what they do in the way of giving a platform to some of the best fighters around, and they don't mess around. I mean, some of those fights are some of the toughest fights I've ever seen. So, look, dude, why are we wasting around? I think we've got George ready. George, you with us, buddy?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Thank you for having me.
No,
hey,
no,
George,
thank you
we're
for
doing
joining
really good.
Us.
Shut up, Skippy. I said I'm doing really good. Now you can answer.
Man, you have got CFA 10 is kicking off an amazing, amazing Pro 145 Women's Tournament to crown a champion. We've had the pleasure tonight to have three of the young ladies on, and they have just rocked it all night. And you've got to be, as an organization, so happy with the talent and the attitude of these ladies.
Man, let me tell you something. It started off as me and my partner wanted to put girls fight together. We always love the girls to watch girls fight, and they're always very entertaining. And you know, the girls have something to prove, and they have that feeling that they have to prove that they're better than the guys. So they're training hardcore. I mean, all day, every day, and they want to prove a point. And you know, I started looking around and started doing some scouting. I started finding some very talented girls, man, out there. Actually, at a, you know, 145, which is a pretty interesting division. And not only that, these girls are very tough. I mean, I'm sure you guys have talked about before their resume. And they're also pretty, man. I mean, these girls are very good looking, very articulate, very well spoken. I mean, every angle, man, it's perfect for our organization. I'm very pleased to have them on board, to be honest with you.
Definitely. You know, the talent that you have from Ashley Evan Smith all the way to Alana Jones and everything in between, I think fans out there are going to get to see some of the most exciting fights that we'll see this year. And with this tournament format that you laid out, will we see maybe later this year or next year another 145 to try to bring up a girl to fight for the title?
We're planning a lot of things for next year, and one of the things that CFA is trying to put together is we need more fights, man. You know, last year, you know, we had some health problems in the, you know, within CFA and stuff like that, and we had to like hold back a little bit on some of the shows that we're putting together, and that's one of the biggest issues we have right now. We're working nonstop to get more shows. We definitely need to have a show every 6 weeks. Get more, you know, develop more talent. And one of the things for now looking into, I mean, this is something that we're all looking for a while, man. I want to have more girls. I mean, the girls are getting a lot of exposure. Some of the girls fighting in the tournament, after the tournament, they're going to drop down to 135. So I'm looking to open that division at 135 and actually do a tournament at 135. Obviously, we're going to have a champion at 45, and I want to keep her around. It's getting very, very interesting, man, that division, and it's opening a lot of doors, not only for CFA. The WMMA is opening doors for every other organization out there. It's you know, most of the networks are woman-driven, and the fact that you know, we have the pleasure of having this girl coming into you know, the industry of MMA and putting on great fights and putting on great shows and being marketable is great for the sport of MMA, man. It's awesome. And we're really enjoying the girls. We're enjoying the whole, everything that's happening, to be honest with you.
Well, with the tournament kicking off at CFA 10, was that planned? Because I believe that's your anniversary show, correct?
March 2nd is actually our two-year anniversary. Yes, it is.
Okay.
It wasn't planned. It was not planned. You know, we were scouting for girls, like I said before. We weren't finding the right talent, but we did. You know, it came to a point where we had six girls, and then we said, you know what, why don't we do something that I don't think has ever been done before? Why don't we do a tournament? Tournament, you know, we'll get a set division, and we'll get a tournament going, and we'll have a champion, you know, in three events, we'll have a champion that will represent our company. So that's how all got, you know, that started, and I'm very pleased. Again, you know, I'm going to keep repeating myself. But we were very pleased to have these girls and the talent. I mean, putting this fight card together and, you know, matching up these girls, it was very challenging for us. You know, some of these girls came down and put in the time for a photo shoot, a video shoot, and stuff like that. And we got to know them personally, so we wanted to keep them, you know, from fighting on the first round. So it was pretty tough to put this whole fight card together. These girls are pretty talented, man.
And then with that being said, I believe that CFA 9 was hands down probably the best show that you guys have done today. I mean, the fights were unreal. The title fights blew me away. But I got a feeling that this card can take that night and just make people forget. I mean, you've got a really great set of fights for fans. When you guys look at that card, how do you feel it stacks up against your previous cards?
Man, to be honest with you, we have a slogan, you know, in the company that there's no easy fights. You know, as a promoter, we that's all we do. We don't manage fighters. We do the matchmaking in the company to put on a great show for the fans and to give the fighters the opportunity to showcase their talent. And we don't pick fights. We don't choose fights. There's no easy fights. If we, you know, there was a few couple calls at the beginning when we started, people calling in and listen, you know, we got this fighter, we're grooming fighters to build them up, to take them to the UFC. We don't believe in that. You know, we don't believe in that. We believe that if you want to go to the UFC, you got to prove yourself. And if you fight for us, the UFC knows by now, and everybody else knows out there, that there's no easy fights. You know, you want to fight the best, you're gonna showcase your skills. And that's, you know, it's been, fans are getting used to it now, and now it's getting the exposure, and I'm glad you guys gave us the opportunity, you know, to speak out, because, you know, we have a great show going on. We have even Pat, when Pat Miletich came to our show, he said, "Hey, George, man, to be honest with you, this is a pretty high level of fights." And we've been doing it, and that's what we're doing, and that's our trademark, and it's going to blow up. CFA is going to blow up. Now, the CFA 9, how does, man, I mean, CFA 10, I love CFA 10. There's something about every event, and I always tell my partner, Lázaro is only going to get bigger. This is only going to get bigger. I mean, we, you know, everybody's overlooking our main event. We have Deion Starring, who just fought. He was the main event at Strikeforce, I mean, for God's sakes. We had, James McSweeney, who was, you know, is very well known in the sport and has fought everywhere. Everybody's overlooking that fight. And, you know, girls' tournament is getting a lot of attention, to be honest with you.
We talked about at the beginning of the show, your Delgado-Bird fight. That's a lot on the table for both gentlemen. It's a great fight. You got Parson, who's fighting Chavez. I mean, that's another great fight. You know, both those guys coming in, a lot to prove. So, no, this whole card in general is just beautifully put together. As a fan, I got to agree that your main event is something fans out there really, really need to pay attention to, because that could be an explosive fight.
We actually just signed also Judy Belafort from the Black Salience. We just matched him up now. You guys are going to hear about it tomorrow. That's going to be also a very exciting fight. He's coming in, you know, he's a Strikeforce veteran. He's fighting. He's 7-2. The guy he's fighting is 7-1. Should be in a very interesting fight as well. Again, man, you know, great matchups. That's what we do here. That's what we do. We put on great fights. And the girls, wow, man, you know, wow. That's all I can say. I can't wait. I'm walking down the street and I'm actually meeting with my friends, having lunch and stuff like that. And people are asking me, "Hey, this is the event where all those pretty girls are going to be fighting, right?" And I'm like, yeah, all those pretty girls are going to be fighting. But, I call them the beauty and the beast. They're beautiful, but they can fight. I mean, I've seen these girls training, and man, all bullshit aside, they're kicking a lot of the guys' ass in the gym. And these are pros. These are not, you know, amateurs. These are pro fighters. Man, I'm very excited about the, you know, CFA 10. CFA 10 is going to be a very exciting show for us.
Dude, George, you mentioned here, like, over the course of the time we've been chatting, that you guys bring people in from all over the country. And that's actually something I want to talk about, because you guys brought Jordan Parsons down, who was a guy, you know, like at, I think it was CFA 4, and he originally fought James Chachi down there. And I was just curious, like, are you guys constantly scouting across the entire North America, or because you guys are, like, really bringing in people from everywhere. Like you said, you've had McCorkle down there before, who fights out of Indiana. And
man, like I said, you know, we want to put on good fights. And, you know, sometimes we make the call and they don't want to take certain fights. You know, some fighters want to protect their record. We don't believe in that, man. We don't believe in that. We believe that if you have what it takes, you fight anybody. You know, as long as it's within your level, obviously, you know, yeah, same amount of fights and stuff like that, your same level of experience. So, yeah, I mean, we're constantly scouting, and it's become, to be honest with you, we get 10 to 30 fighters every day. It's overwhelming sometimes, to be honest with you, where, you know, now we're handpicking some of the fights because we want great fights to happen. And you know, and so we're putting on great talent. We're just putting on great talent. I mean, Josh Sample, who's ranked number two in the world now as a flyweight, just beat Alexis Vila in his hometown. And that was a great fight. I mean, this kid, Josh Sample, is ready to go. I mean, he's awesome, man. The guy's a great fighter, a flyweight, very strong kid, a flyweight, very humble kid. We love him, man, you know. And Jordan Parsons, I have never seen anybody wrestle like that kid. That kid's wrestling is out of this world. I mean, he took the guy down from half the cage. Half the cage he shot for a takedown, and he took him down. I had never seen that before. His wrestling is amazing. You know, he was like, yeah, sorry.
No, go ahead.
And, you know, he went that fight with Chavez, they went to the decision. You know, Chavez now is a contender of featherweight, and I told him, listen, if you want to be a real contender, you got to go through Parsons, because Parsons just has one loss. You know, so we'll see what happens after that. Then we got Elvin Brito, who just fought Patrick Shinobi, who to me, that was one of our top-ranked fighters in CFA at 155.
Shinobi's a baller, dude. That was like one of my favorite fights that you guys have had was Yoaz Landy versus Shinobi at CFA 4. Again, another CFA 4. That was a stacked card, in my opinion. CFA 4
was
one of my favorite cards. But and that Shinobi is here to fight. It was short, but that's not how I expected that fight to go. Both of those guys are so talented and a lot of fun to watch.
Shinobi, yeah, I think, is one of the best fighters we've ever had in CFA. And you know, he gassed this past fight. He was definitely gassed. Elvin Brito was bringing something completely different to the table, man. To be honest with you, his angles are so uncomfortable that I mean, you can't find a training partner to simulate Elvin Brito. You just can't. And the guy doesn't even fight at 55. Elvin Brito is actually going down to 45. So
wow.
I mean, man, we have very good very good talent in CFA. To be honest with you. And the fight keeps getting better and better. Every event gets better and better, and now we're getting more exposure, so we, you know, people are paying attention to the fights that we're putting together.
We've been saying that for some time. You know, we, Lepaki and myself both, you know, when we talk about upper echelon organizations to fight for, we continually mention you, and this is one of the biggest reasons why Lepaki came to me and said, look, we need to do an all CFA show. We need to, because you guys are going to be streaming this event like normal, correct?
Yeah, we're definitely going to be – we signed a partnership with Ustream, where the last event, you know, we didn't even get to announce it because we were just testing out the water, see how everything was going to work. Now we're ready to go. Every event, we're definitely going to be promoting it on the website, on you know, on the internet and stuff like that. And, yeah, we're definitely going to be through Ustream. And there's a couple of deals on the tables, man. I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. But there's a couple of deals on the tables. This is one of the reasons why we're going to be putting on more shows, because definitely we need more content and we need to start developing more fighters. But there's a couple of deals that, you know, hopefully one of them is going to go down, and it's definitely going to give CFA the exposure that we're looking for. You know, we got to get out there. We got to get on TV and you know, showcase what we're doing, man. You know, it's been we've made a big investment in this company. You know, now holding back and then just putting on great shows, and it's our time to get out there. We need to get on TV, and this is the year. 2013 is CFA's year.
I agree. I definitely agree. You know, and obviously, you know, you've got this great card coming up, and everybody can, they'll be able to see the whole card, or will you have the undercard on this stream as well?
Man, we're still going through our process.
Okay.
Our undercard is so good that, you know, because people are like, hey, listen, you know, if you put everything on pay-per-view, it's going to be too long. But, you know, why don't you give out some of the cards for free? I'm like, man, you know what? To be honest, our card is so stacked from top to bottom that I just, you know, I'd rather have everybody just go to one channel and watch it, you know, just watch the whole, you know, you pay for one fight, you get to see all the fights. So that's where we're at right now, you know, and try to get people accustomed to go to our Ustream channel, you know. So that's definitely what we're looking to do. We just put on the whole show, one pay-per-view payment, you get all the fights.
I love it. I think it's great. You know, I'm a big supporter. You know, we say it all the time on the show, man. Go get a local pay-per-view, man, you know. Obviously, we're going to get quite a few fantastic fights. And I don't have to live in Miami, and I can still watch all these fights, and I can still support it, you know, and that's what's great. That's why I love the fact that you guys stream your events. You know, it's going to be great because, I'll be stuck out here on the West Coast for your event March 2nd, but I'll be able to watch it live, which I'm super excited about.
No, and I know all the issues that we're having and the reason why, you know, mainly we have to do it on pay-per-view is because the deals that we have on the table with certain networks, I can't mention any names, they don't allow us to show the fights for free because they want to have those fights on tape delay and show them again. So the only way we can get away from that before we close that deal is to have them on pay-per-view. So that's the reason why we have to have all those fights on you know, on pay-per-view stream.
Is it going to be $7.99 again?
$7.95, yes.
But that's such a fair price. Yeah, because last time, wasn't it Lapaki 42 cents a fight or something?
Dude, it was ridiculous, man. It was like,
no,
it doesn't even matter, dude. I mean, we're talking like, dude, it's 17 fights. Like, the last card was 16. Am I right, George? I'm pretty sure.
The last card, we have 14 fights. And four of those fights were title fights. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
We have 12 fights.
Yeah. Now you mentioned that you guys have been getting a lot of good heat. Now, how much did the advancement of Mike Rio from CFA to the Ultimate Fighter help with that? You think,
Pardon?
Man, to be honest with you, all of the guys have helped. I mean, we got Abel Trujillo, who speaks very highly of CFA. We had Mike Rio, who was in the Ultimate Fighter, speaks very highly of CFA, and is at every CFA, and we love that kid. We also had Colton Smith, who's now the Ultimate Fighter, who fought in our show and actually got knocked out, but he said that due to that knockout, that's why he's the Ultimate Fighter today. I mean, and all these kids, man, they're seeing, they're getting the picture. They're seeing what we're doing, and they want us to do good. They want, you know, all of our fighters and all the guys that we have signed to the organization now, they're getting the point that this is a team. We got to be a team. If we don't have the fighters supporting the event, we don't have the fighters supporting CFA, we're nobody. You know, it's all about the fighters, and I've always said the same thing. You know, UFC is who it is thanks to the guys that they're being able to develop. You know, give me their 10 fighters today, and we'll be bigger than the UFC tomorrow. All those champions, give me their champions today, and we'll be bigger than the UFC tomorrow. You know, this is what it is. It's about the fighters. This guy. You know, this sport is about the fighters, and we support the fighters, and the fighters are supporting CFA, and we love it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think what what you're bringing for fighters, and you know, I've said it to a bunch of pro fighters. You know, they're like, man, I need to find tough competition. I've cleaned out my region. I'm like, you need to contact the CFA. Somebody there will shut your mouth pretty quick.
We actually get, we get a lot of calls too, and when we put them on our show, well, a lot of these guys freak out, man. I don't know if it's the lights, I don't know if it's the amount of people we've been getting lately at the arenas and stuff like that, the production side of it. I don't know what it is, but they freak out, to be honest with you. And we have, man, our level of fights is pretty high. It's a very high level of fights. I mean, I've been to a lot of UFC shows, I've been to a lot of Bellator shows. you know, and, you know, mentioning two of the top players, and they don't, some of the fights that they have, they're not even at the level of fights that we have. You know, the some of the guys, man, they don't hold back. There's no holding back. There's no, you know, they don't, you know, they get technical, obviously, because they have a very high level of, you know, of training, but there's no holding back. They're going hunting.
Well, and for everybody out there, you know, we're talking about CFA 10. You're going to be able to go to their Ustream page and buy the pay-per-view. If you live in Florida and you want to try to make this event, you can get tickets at Ticketmaster and at CFAFights.com. I want to give you some time before we run out of time. Do you want to give any shout-outs or anything? Go for it.
Man, actually, guys, thank you. I want to give you guys I want to thank you guys for the opportunity and follow us, man. Everybody on the West Coast, start following CFA. We're on Twitter, CFA Fights. We're on Facebook, Championship Fighting Alliance. And stay in touch, man. You know, we're definitely this year, once we make it happen here big in Florida, we want to go to different states and we want to travel and we want to meet different people and bring, you know, some of the flavor that we have here in Miami, bring it around those states, you know, and put on great shows. So I really want to thank you guys for this opportunity. I've never talked to you guys before. And thank you for interviewing the girls. The girls are awesome, and I love them. And to be honest with you, expect a great show. Expect a great show. CFA 10 is going to be a great show. That's all. You know, it's going to be fireworks. Great fights.
And for all those fans out there, we're going to do a show before each round of this tournament, you know, and keep bringing you guys the cards that these guys are putting out and the fighters on it. We want you guys to know that you're going to be able to come to Madhouse and you're going to be able to find all the information you need about this event. You're going to be able to go here and to hear every round of the tournament, what's going on, man. You guys, we're going to support these guys. We want you guys to get out and support them. Get out and buy their pay-per-views. Get out there and go and buy tickets to the event. And when you're there, pick up a sponsor's T-shirt. Go get a fighter to sign that shirt, man. Show love and respect back to the organization that's bringing these talented fighters to all of us.
Wow, guys. Hey, again, you know, I'm out of words, man. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you very much.
Hey, George, man, we really appreciate you coming on, brother, man. We've been following you, like Skippy said, for a minute. And you know, if you guys ever need anything from us out here on the West Coast, man, just let us know, bro.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Have a good night, brother.
Thank you for everything.
Everybody, CFA 10, March 2nd, Bank United Center, Miami, man. Tickets at Ticketmaster, CFAFights.com. You guys don't want to miss this. The kickoff to their first ever Pro 145 Women's Division Tournament to place a nasty CFA strap around their waist. Watch it all the way through, folks. Man,
dude, but they're fighting in another – it's another town with another shitty-ass airport, dude. The Miami airport, like, if you envision Miami and then you look at their airport, you're like, what am I, in New Jersey? Like, if you're going to fly into South Florida, just fly into Fort Lauderdale, because at least the airport's, like, what you would expect to have, like, is kind of an airport.
And I want to give a big shout-out to Jason from Relentless Sports Management for helping me get this show put together and, you know, getting George you know, on the show. That was really cool of him to help me with that. And like I said, fans, we're going to keep talking with these girls and the competitors each round of the tournament, man. You guys can expect this to be a regular thing. We want to keep all you guys up to date on this because this is an amazing tournament. And like he said, there are a ton of other great fights on this card. So you guys definitely should be checking it out. And what a great show.
What was that?
What a great fucking show.
I'm telling Carl, you can use foul. Carl, Skippy's using foul language. Censor him.
I just sent him a case of Molson Ice. That got me some love.
Dude.
So I don't know what it got you. You sitting there talking shit, but, you know, you can step up to the plate anytime you want to get froggy. Why are you so quiet every time I start talking shit, man?
Dude, you're really just on thin ice, bro.
Oh, man.
Oh, man, that was a great group of guests, dude. And, you know, if anybody is in need of fight shorts or fight gear design, man, please do hit up my boy Anthony Burchak, man. He, not only is he an active Maximum Fighting Championship
bantamweight, but he's also a graphic designer on the side. So let him have something to do when he's waiting for his next fight, which he shouldn't really be spending a lot of time right now doing graphic design because he's got a big fight May 10th at MFC
37. Yeah, he's about to go up to Canada and kick some ass.
Yeah, he might want to design himself a fucking parka for that trip. He's going to be like coming up there from Arizona. Don't wear flip-flops and a tank top, Anthony. Because you're not in Arizona anymore when you land in Edmonton.
Right? He's going to get off in flip-flops and some dicky shorts and a tank top and be like, what happened?
I don't think he's probably going to be wearing dicky shorts, Skippy. That's kind of a you're really the only one carrying the dicky shorts torch anymore. Like, most people have moved on past dicky shorts, Skippy, but you're kind of just carrying the torch.
They're the greatest shorts ever made.
Do you own stock in Dickies?
I will soon. Dickies, looking for a sponsor? Hit me up. If you got size fat and short, they're perfect. See, actually what I do is I buy shorts and I wear them as pants. You just got a picture of me.
Do you sag them? Do you get your sag on? See, like,
oh,
can you explain this to me, dude? What is the disconnect? Why are people sagging their pants? Like, do they not understand what that means?
First of all, I have no problem telling a young man walking down the street sagging, pull up your poor pants, boy. Who taught you to dress? I should smack your mama. And they usually get an attitude when I say that, but still, the point being, you need to pull your pants up. I wear two belts for that reason.
But don't they understand what that means when you're sagging your pants? It's not like it's a cool thing.
Looks like you got, like, a dirty diaper hanging.
Well, dude, not only that, but, like, I thought, like, when you're in the, you know, the state hotel, and the dudes that sag their pants are the ones that are, like, serving up the booty.
Well, maybe in the prisons you hang out in.
I don't know, bro. That's, you know, I don't know what prison you were in, but.
Dude,
you know,
if you're talking about when you're going into the steam room to cut weight, that's a whole other story, bro.
I didn't know you guys were cutting weight in the state hotel.
You can if you're not fast.
Get them to add me as well. Okay, Carl, we're going to have them add you, buddy.
I will do that, buddy. Well, shit, Carl, we got about 2.5 minutes, man. I want to thank all the wonderful guests tonight, man. They just killed it. You guys will put a replay up later tonight. Man, you guys get out there and share this show. The girls, man, we wish you all the best of luck. You know, George, I can't wait to see what goes on this year with CFA. You guys kill it. I'm done.
Fine, yeah, that's good.
Dude, if you've been wondering where to find the largest selection of custom glass products in Central Oregon, wonder no more. At Vision Smoke Shop, located on Southwest 6th and Redmond, they feature one-of-a-kind stuff from 16 local glass blowers. They don't only blow glass, they blow your mind, man. They got great prices on hookah products and tobacco, too, so stick that in your pipe and smoke it. Literally, the friendly staff can educate you. They'll be happy to get you up to speed on everything Vision Smoke Shop has to offer. Thinking your hectic disc golf schedule might make it tough to stop by? They understand. And at Visions, they've got everything you need to make your disc golf experience perfect. So it's worth your trip, because if there's one thing they don't like to see wasted, it's time. While you're there, be sure to check out the selection of custom painted longboards. Visit facebook.com/visionsmoke for a first-hand look at some of their unique items. Their prices are already affordable, and they also give a 10% discount to OMMP cardholders, because if there's another thing they don't like to see wasted, it's money. What do they like to see wasted? Well, you figure that one out. Vision Smoke Shop, located in downtown Redmond, the glassiest place in Central Oregon.
Hey, please check out our sponsors. Brawl Base, Clinch Custom Mouth Guard, Intimidation Clothing, Hank Grimes, No Pain, Just Glory, Central Oregon Trike, Combat Sports Insurance, Vision Smoke Shop, 24 and LV, Trico Sports, Triumph Fitness, Big Pete Nightclub, Crossroader Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, and Game Changer Clothing.
Okay, people, time to disperse. Party's over.